Hey, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. Before we get to my guest, this coming weekend, January 9th to the 11th, I'm going to be at the Funny Bone in Des Moines, Iowa. So come on out, hang out. We'll have some laughs. It'll be cold. Bring a jacket. Bring me something that you got for Christmas that you really don't want, and you can give it to me. Bad sweater, whatever it might be. A chia pet. Anyway, January 9th to the 11th, Iowa Funny Bone. You can go online to get tickets. I hope you guys can come out if you're in the area. My guest this week, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. He's a professor of sociology at Georgetown University, my alma mater. I went to the law school there. And he has a book out, Jay-Z Made in America. This is a really cool conversation about Jay-Z and kind of chronicles his life coming out of the streets as a drug dealer to, you know, being who he is today. Really, really interesting conversation and really well researched. Dr. Dyson really knows his stuff about Jay-Z. So even if you're not into rap or Jay-Z, I think you want to hear it because it's a life story that everybody should hear, and I think everybody takes something away from it. And hope to see you in Iowa this weekend. My guest this week, I was excited to be able to see and hear in person about a month ago, and very excited to have on the show. He occupies the distinguished position of Georgetown University professor of sociology, is a contributing opinion writer for the New York Times. Ebony Magazine named him one of the 100 most influential African Americans. My guest is Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. Great to have you on and to sort of meet you again for a second time.
Yes, sir. No, it's great to be here.
You have a book out about Jay-Z, Jay-Z Made in America, which is really, really fascinating. And there's so many things that I wanted to talk to you about it. One of the things I wanted to get your thoughts on is, obviously, you know his work, and you, I'm sure, knew his work before you wrote the book. As you got into sort of writing the book and really sort of drilling down on him, were lyrics that you heard in songs earlier on that you sort of reinterpreted as you got to know him and understand him? Did lyrics speak to you differently?
There's no question that, you know, what happened is stuff I thought I knew and I would know the words. But when you go back and discover the context and you discover the backdrop and you discover the entire song, right? And you listen to it closely and you listen to it carefully. I was astonished by, you know, some of the metaphors, the analogies, the reflections he made. You know, you can lose some of the political commentary that might be, you know, ensconced in certain of those verses. And you go, my God, the guy is far more literate, far more sophisticated, and far more complicated than one might have given him credit for, even if you listened as a fan who appreciated him. So he is definitely a figure who repays, you know, repeated listening to what he's doing, and you derive tremendous insight from what he's saying.
You know, it's funny because he also has become such an amazing businessman. And, you know, this is a guy from, and I'm going to be generous, humble beginnings who had a tough upbringing. Where does this level of sophistication come from? Is he born sort of this artistic genius? How did he develop into this person that he's become?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think observation, I think difficult circumstances. You know, he has a lyric where he says, all the teachers couldn't reach me and my mama couldn't beat me hard enough to match the pain of my pop not seeing me. So with that disdain in my membrane, got on my pimp game, blanked the world, my defense came. So, he, you know, his personal suffering, father absence, economic inequality forced him into a life of hustling, but he was a deeply observational child. He observed the world around him, very observative, I should say. And as a result of that, he was able to take in knowledge, reflect on circumstances, use the prudence and wisdom he gained from the streets and from his observation in navigating his perilous existence. Then transitioned from hustling in the streets to becoming a rapper who ultimately occupied the suites of America as a CEO of Def Jam and now Rock Nation, but also a billionaire, the first in hip hop, His rise has been extraordinary from the depths of American society to the heights of this nation because of that particular characteristic and genius he possesses.
But what there's so many guys that went down the other, right? You're at a fork in the road and he's hustling on the street. And then he, you know, he sort of goes down that path that you just described. But, you know, just a slight left turn and you're down the other path and, you know, your life of crime and however else it ends up. What is it about him that kept, you know, there's so many guys and women go down that other path in that moment. Why do you think he was able to sort of avoid that and go down, quote unquote, the right path, if you will?
Because he had a gift that took him from the streets to the suites. He had an amazing, you know, rhetorical facility, a verbal, you know, virtuosity that allowed him to create ideas, word pictures through songs. And I create pictures through words, he said. That ability distinguished him. Now, others had, you know, aspirations to be rappers because rappers create desire for other rappers to exist. One begets the other. But his unique genius of being able to talk, think, and reflect, and to do so while creating powerful stories of the world around him, distinguished him from many others who were equally talented in their own way, perhaps, but who didn't possess a gift that happened to coincide with the rise of a culture that focused on verbal virtuosities from the hood called hip hop music. And, you know, hip hop coming along and Jay come along at the same time created a unique opportunity.
So it was a little bit of right place, right time. He was catching the wave just at the right time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And
it's incredible that he was able to do so.
How is he, in knowing him so well, is he affecting society in a way that in ways that we may not even notice? I mean, obviously he has a big impact on pop culture and music, et cetera. And obviously as his power grows and his business prowess grows, his tentacles get longer. But are there things that sort of even in a subtle way that he has the ability to affect that we may not be apparent to us on the surface?
Yeah, I think his hard work, his work ethic, his discipline, you know, his determination to forge connections among disparate communities in America. You know, he really does have an interest in bringing the races together. Even beyond that, he's got a real love for social justice, especially addressing the criminal justice system of America. And he's pushing for criminal justice reform behind the scenes. People may not be aware of that as much as those who are his devout fans are aware. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that he's about behind the scenes that people might be surprised by. But artistically, he's just a very wide open person, listens to rock music, listens to different varieties and genres of music that inspire him and then that inspire his wife. And when he creates music, it is out of an appreciation for the broad diversity of tastes and attitudes that have grown up in American music over the last 30 years.
When you decided to write the book, what were you hoping to, why did you decide to write the book? And what surprised you as you ended up writing it and you came out the other side of it? What were some of those things that you were hoping to find and did find or maybe didn't find?
Yeah, I think that, look, he's 50 years old this year. He's been performing for 30 years. Hip hop, the above ground expression, is 40. I thought that was a good time to reflect on his significant contribution. And when you go back and look at his poetry, look at the extended metaphors, the similes, the analogies, when you look at the allusions, when you look at enjambment, which means you got a long sentence, you got to fit in to make it fit because the meter demands that the sentence will be up before the words you have will be. So you got to jam them in. So he knows how to double time. I mean, his artistic expressions are incredible, but his rhetorical genius is pretty fascinating. And the precision with which he treats certain subjects and does it rhetorically and verbally is astonishing. And then you think about the fact he ain't even writing it down. He's doing it without writing it down. It's a pretty remarkable, remarkable feat. And I got a chance to really get a sense of that, engage all of that, and try to communicate all of that in the book as well.
So when, you know, I read that he doesn't write it down. I thought his sort of initial thoughts he didn't write down, but that eventually this gets written down. But I mean, none of it is, it's all sort of coming out of him in real time and then sort of gets memorialized in some way after that. Is that right?
Yeah, it gets memorialized by people who will take the lyrics and write them down, but he's not writing. I mean, he tried writing one time. He said, you know, in his career, it didn't work. He just couldn't do it. So he had mastered a way of mnemonic devices, you know, on the street selling crack, and really ain't got time to write ideas down as they pop in your head. So he started memorizing one line, two lines, four bars, the lines are called, maybe six, then an entire song. And then he began to create that way. If you look at Fade to Black, the famous documentary made as he was preparing the Black album, you would see him kind of mumble to himself, sit for a while, and then go into the studio and nail it. So it's been pretty incredible to study that process by which he creates his music, writing with his mind. Pretty amazing.
You talk about his technique. Fredro Starr says that Jay-Z's a master of the flow. He can flow fast. He can flow slow. That's his quote. Explain to my listeners what flow is and the mastery of that.
Well, flow is the kind of, you know, measure, meter, cadence, the way in which the pace in which it goes. So we can say, I would write it if you could get it, but being intricate will get you wood critics, right? That's one flow. That's one pace. Or you can go fast. When the rim is in the system, ain't no telling. Will I love them? Will I diss them? That's what they be yelling. I'm a pimp by blood, not relation, right? So got a faster beat there. And so he can speed it up. He can slow it down. He can make it mid-tempo. He just manages to, you know, have a multitude of flows to express different sensibilities and create different emotional responses in the people that listen to the music.
Yeah, it's incredible. What do you hope people will take away from the book as we wrap up here? Is there anything in particular that you really want them to sort of step away with?
Yeah, I want them to know that a guy from the ghetto, a young person from the hood, with very few advantages, and in fact, no advantages and many disadvantages, except the advantage of rhetorical genius, made a way out of no way. But it's not enough to celebrate him alone. We've got to create opportunities where we overcome barriers and prevent obstacles from rising for other young people who, though they may not possess his genius, at least have an enormous skill and talent that deserves to be nurtured if we're willing to overcome history and deal with race and class and inequality in this country to create opportunity for as many people as we can.
Well said. The book is terrific, and so are you. I really enjoy talking to you, and we must do this again at some point. And again, I really enjoyed your speech at the Firm event. And the book is Jay-Z Made in America. It's Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, and thanks for being on. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go. That was Michael Eric Dyson. Really great book. Pick it up. And please, if you get a second, leave some nice comments on iTunes about the podcast. Always helps. And follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Paul Mercurio. And I got some shows this weekend, January 9th to the 11th at the Iowa Funny Bone in Des Moines. So come on out, check out a show. And hope you guys have a great week.